Hello all, my name is Daphne Slocum and I work here at IMS upstairs in communications and development. And I just want to acknowledge that this is a shift to have a staff person speaking with you after your days of dedicated practice and listening to the teachers. I know there's a bit of an energy shift there. I also want to acknowledge that for some of us, this is a bit of a sleepy time of day, so I'll try to make my talk as lively as possible. And after this, your retreat manager, Brian, will be speaking with you about ride coordination, cleaning your rooms, and other details about the closing of the retreat. I'm going to be speaking to you about dana, or generosity, freely giving, and especially about dana as part of how this whole retreat center unfolds, how it works, how dana is operating here all around us right now and holding us right now. I think most of you have sat at IMS before, some of you many times, and you could probably give this talk just as well as I could, but for some of you it may be new information. It's always inspiring. I love this chance to come and be with you all just for a few minutes and just reflect on dana, generosity, as we're sitting in the middle of it right now, sort of concentric rings of generosity. And just to start right here in the hall, there's the act of all of you just putting aside time to do this practice, to come here, be here and investigate the mind. That in itself is an act of generosity. It's not always easy in our busy lives to clear that time, even if we very much want to come on retreat. There are also the arrangements, practical arrangements you may have had to make to get here. You come from 21 different United States and from Canada and New Zealand. But whether you're coming from near or far, there are things that you had to set up in order to get here and be here and take this time. So I just want to acknowledge that. Also in the room with us is the generosity of anyone who helped you get here in any way by offering some financial support, taking care of a pet, covering for you at work. So their generosity is right here with us too. There's also rideshare. Perhaps some of you made it possible for someone else to get here by offering a ride on through the rideshare. And there's the very important generosity of showing up for each period of sitting and walking, and how that impacts the others around you, and just to undertake that investigation to bring clarity to your own lives. That's a big act of generosity. At a recent retreat, a yogi stopped by the office to tell us what was new for her, the experience of sitting in the hall like this with other people. She'd done a lot of practice on her own, but this was new, and she talked about the power of it, and I think that's true. It's the individual practice is of course key, but this particular time is crucial to us. It's very supportive of us. And there's also your yogi job. That's another great act of generosity on all of your parts. You've been helping us prepare meals and clean the center for several days. You can imagine how much we'd have to charge and the staff we'd have to hire if we were doing all of that ourselves. So you've been very active in taking part in the life of the center all this time. Going out from the hall, there are forms of dana that are very easy to see. Sometimes there are gifts of food or coffee or tea. There's also the meal dana dedications, the heartful dedications on the board from people who've offered meals. There's the dining room itself, recently expanded. That's all from dana. There's the new dorm, Bodhi House, the forest refuge, I don't know, our center for longer term practice. There are the trail markers in the woods and the little gazebo. I don't know if you had time to get out there to the little meditation gazebo in the woods, but that was recently all repaired just from someone, a yogi who loved it and wanted it to be there for other yogis. Also very much in the room with us is the teacher's own generosity. It's the time they're with us, answering our questions, sharing their own experience or practice, and that goes, of course, right back to the Buddha's initial act of generosity and undertaking to teach other people, no matter, you know, those who had little dust in their eyes, But so many of us have benefited since then from that act of generosity. And as we notice all of these things, we can start to feel how all of those who've given to this center are woven in various ways throughout the whole center. Other forms of dana are not easily visible, but they're very important, like financial assistance. That's an area where we constantly want to expand how much we're able to support people who otherwise couldn't come here on retreat. There's also staff generosity. It's been part of my own learning since I've been here, learning about generosity. When I got here, I bit by bit discovered that the staff were taking care of the food pantry in town at that time. They were running a Dharma program at a nearby prison, and that's gone on for years with the staff just donating their own time to that. And we know how much that means to the men who are in that prison. Wonderful ongoing program. We also have staff people who offer hospice, are volunteers for hospice care. All of those, at one point they were preparing meals here and taking them to a soup kitchen in Worcester and offering them there. And that was a wonderful program that went on for a while. My own personal image from several years ago, and I'm sure everyone on staff has their own. This was after the very devastating ice storm that hit, I think, I don't know, 5 years ago or so, and left the whole area without power for a couple of weeks. And I was coming into work that morning with my daughter. We were slowly making our way in up so-called Pleasant Street, which was not at all pleasant, with the ice. There was ice every which way and trees and power lines, and it was a scary little trip, but we kept winding our way. And another car started to follow us and go in exactly in our tracks. And we came to a certain point where there was both a power line and a tree and something lying on the road. And I thought, it's impossible. So I got out and went back to the other car, and it did turn out to be a staff person. And I said to her, I don't think we can get to IMS today. And she just immediately, with full heart, said, "Daphne, we must get to IMS. We must give the yogis their breakfast." So I got back in the car, and I felt her energy behind me just powering us up the street. We got here, the yogis got their breakfast, and we all pitched in and got water from local ponds and made it all work for the next few days. So that was a wonderful time of a flow of generosity among everyone involved. Several years ago, I saw the power of generosity and how it can transform lives in a very personal way. My younger daughter was in high school, and she was going through a very difficult time. My husband and I didn't understand why, this child who'd been loved and wanted from the very start, why things had gotten so hard for her. But she was clearly in a very dark period. And nothing we said could seem to reach her or help. We tried everything. And finally, someone told us about the teen retreat here at IMS. And at that time, I was working several little part-time jobs, and my husband was working various things, and things were tight. Things were financially tight, and I thought, how can we do that? I'd love to do that. It sounds wonderful. And they said, they have scholarships. They have support. See if she can do that. And she applied for the support and got in, and it was truly amazing to see. And the image that stays in my mind from that time was as if my husband and I had been on the ground, and watching this little plane going along, and as if it had started to go into a nosedive, and it didn't matter how much, love you were radiating at it, it nothing seemed to help. And then suddenly to see it catch itself and right itself and go on. And that was directly because she was here, because she connected with the practice, with the other yogis, and with the teachers that she had. And it became a life, it went on in her life. And today she works for a Buddhist publishing firm. And so that, I don't even know, that was stranger's generosity offered that she was blessed by. And it was life-changing. So the wonderful thing about that is that's many people's story. It's not just my daughter's story. Many people all around us are benefited all through the year, that kind of generosity is operating and touching lives. And this practice of dana, which is so powerful for us today, has a very long history and goes back to the beginning of the Buddha's teachings 2,500 years ago. Whenever the Buddha addressed a group for the first time that he hadn't taught before, he always started with the practice of dana because it's so foundational to the path. Since the time of the Buddha, these teachings have moved from country to country, and wherever they've gone, they've picked up, of course, you know, the local flavorings and cultural elements and moved on and picked up more. And when the Western teachers of our lineage first came to this country, they looked at that and they examined what's essential, what must be carried on and taught, shared, and what could be let go of. And dana was one of the things, a practice that they felt was essential, was absolutely core. And actually, that translation process continues. It's not like it's over now. It's continuing now as Buddhism spreads throughout the West, especially as it moves into areas, you know, medicine, research, education, law, even government. In every area where it goes, it again undergoes a translation. But there was this collective agreement among our teachers from the start to sustain this practice and to pass it on. And I think it's partly because it so directly counteracts the tendency to clinging, which is at the source of so much of our suffering, and also because it gives such direct delight to the mind when we're generous. So it's something we can feel immediately. In terms of the teachers' own lives, there's also been a consistent commitment to offer the teachings freely. They receive no financial payment, as probably most of you know, from the many meditation centers where they teach in this country and in other parts of the world. And they're instead supported by donations at the ends of retreats, mostly from their students who sit with them. IMS does reimburse teachers' travel. It does offer them housing and meals, of course, while they're here. But they receive no stipend or honorarium. They really rely on this practice. And that's true whether you sit here or at Spirit Rock in California, at Guyot House in England, in Switzerland. Wherever you go, the Insight Centers, this will be true. It's a tradition you can rely on, this generosity of freely offering the teachings. Generosity also plays a central role in IMS's vision. And those of you who've been coming for a while know that we have a rather large and bold vision, and that is the liberation of all beings, and we're in it for the long haul. But that's what we're dedicated to. Might take a while, but we'll get there. On an energetic level, we want this environment to overflow with metta and dana, with loving kindness and generosity, so that anyone coming here can immediately sense it and feel it, so that it's palpable, because we know the power of those qualities to heal whatever is broken in the world. On a pragmatic level, we want to support our teachers' commitment to offer the teachings freely. As you know, the teachers are really central to IMS. They're really the heart, along with the teachings, the Buddha's teachings themselves. We also want to dissolve financial barriers so that anyone who is moved to come here is able to come and have retreat time. And we want, of course, the buildings and grounds to be kept in good repair and maintained so that they're a harmonious container for your practice, and also for the qualities of loving kindness and wisdom that are cultivated here while you're on retreat. I think many of us are more aware than ever that the way we use our financial resources actually shapes the world around us. It's a time to really think about whatever it is that we value and to support that. And if IMS is one of the things that you would like to support, stay engaged with, you would like it to continue in the world, I'd like to offer three avenues of support that can be very beneficial. The first is support for the teachers. I think the teachers really embody a life of dana. It's really, I find that really inspiring, and trusting themselves to generosity really every day. And when I imagine teachers making that initial decision, you know, not to rely on the more conventional means of financial support. It's the courage that that takes is it's quite amazing to me. It's very striking. And I think it makes a big difference to receive the teachings from people who've made that commitment. Our gifts to them help maintain that very precious tradition. And at the same time, they deepen our own awareness of the interconnectedness of all beings, and as well as encouraging non-attachment. And I just want to let you know something specific about this retreat teaching team. Sayadaw Ujagara will be giving all of his dana to the Alliance for Bhikkhunis in California. And Nikki is living a lay life in an urban area and also relies completely on dana, just so that you know about these two particular teachers. And I also want to add that any contribution you might be moved to make to them isn't just for this particular, you know, it doesn't just for this particular time. It's an ongoing support that they rely on. And it makes it possible, really, for them to live a life dedicated to practice and to teaching. The second avenue of support is for IMS's core operations. Core support is a very practical way that retreatants stay involved with the ongoing life of the center. It covers everything that is, you know, around us on retreat, such as the food, the buildings, and things like insurance and salaries for the staff. All of that is covered in core support. Oh, and also teacher travel comes under that. Retreat fees don't actually cover those expenses. They cover about half. And when you first signed up, you probably noticed the different levels for retreat fees. There's sustaining level, mid, and base. And that sustaining level fee is the actual cost of having folks here. So over the course of the year, everything from retreat fees does cover about half, but the wonderful thing to think of is the whole other half does come simply from the generosity of people who come here and sit. It's not only people offering dana at the ends of retreats, but also the annual peel, or paying retreat fees above the base rate, or meal dana, and other forms of offerings. The third area of support is financial assistance, which is so important. We have a strong belief that finances shouldn't be a barrier to retreat life. And we really would like everyone to be able to come. So the more donations we receive for that particular area, then the more we can pass on. So I'm here to invite you to participate in our bold vision, to invest in our teachers and in IMS, and to preserve something that genuinely matters. A gift given with that intention, no matter what its size, has a lot of power. 2016 is a special year for IMS. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary, which is something of a milestone for Buddhism in the West. And the theme of our anniversary year is expanding access to all. Over time, our aim is for our teachers, retreatants, board, and staff, and volunteers to all fully reflect the diverse and multicultural communities we all come from. And in honor of our 40th anniversary, we're dedicating our spring appeal to four important initiatives related to this. The first is to increase financial assistance for retreatants, allowing more people to pay according to their means. We also want to augment support for the teachers, ensuring we have a highly trained, diverse faculty committed to IMS's role in the world. We want to make our centers more fully diverse and inclusive so that retreatants and teachers of all identities, backgrounds, and abilities feel a greater sense of welcome. And we also want to provide better physical support for an aging population by making appropriate upgrades to our various buildings. So if you'd like more information about that appeal, there's an envelope out in the hall above the dana box that describes that specifically. And if you'd like to talk to someone about making a donation, both our executive director, Linda Spink, and our director of development, Yano Gibson, they very much enjoy talking to people about IMS's work and mission. and they would like enjoy hearing about your own experience. I'll leave Yano's business cards out in the foyer so that you can pick one up. And now to let you know some of the practicalities of offering a donation. You may have noticed these envelopes out in the hall. These are the Donna envelopes. And basically inside it has your directions to us about how you'd like your donation used. So there's an area for, well, there's your personal information at the top there. And then you can check out for teacher support, course support, financial assistance. So you just fill that out, enclose anything that needs to be enclosed, seal it up, and put it in the box. There's also a box at the bottom for if you want information about including IMS in your estate plan. So this is all the directions that you need for that specific aspect of making a donation. All donations to IMS are tax deductible. It's not possible to offer a donation to one particular teacher. You just give it to the team and then they divide it. And I also should mention the deadline for this particular retreat is July 7 for getting Teacher Donna to this team of teachers. What else do you need to know? Let's see. Oh, cash, check, or credit card are all fine. Sustaining the Sangha. This program meant a lot to me when I first came here and continues to mean a lot to me. But at that time, I had such gratitude for what IMS had meant to our family that I wanted to give a donation, but we didn't have much at any particular time. So this is a monthly withdrawal thing, so I was able to spread it out over the year, and that worked very well. So in that way, a small monthly donation can build up into something quite substantial. So these little leaflets are also out in the hall. And let's see, checks should be made payable to IMS. If you post-date it, attach a note so we don't deposit it before you want it deposited. And if it's drawn on a Canadian bank, be sure to write USD after the amount so that we can use the correct amount. And I should let you know, if no box is checked on the Donna envelope, it will go to core support. So if you have another idea about how you'd like it used, please do check off and let us know, because we want to use it exactly how you want it used. All right, I think that's it. Are there any questions about offering Donna? All right, I'll leave. If you think of any later, I'm also leave my own business cards out there. So, and if I don't know the answer myself, I'll find it out. So anything that comes to mind later on, that's fine. Yes?
I think I heard two things. When we give for the teachers, yes. Did you say it's spread across different retreats, or is it just the team from this retreat?
It's just the team for this retreat, but that's why it needs to get to us and be processed before July 7th. Yes, thank you for that question. Yeah, that's if your teacher Donna, if you want it to go to these teachers, that's why it has to get to us before July 7th. Yes? Oh, yes. Sayadaw Ujagra is going to give all of his Donna, all the Donna that comes to him, he is going to offer to the Alliance for Bhikkhunis, which is centered in California. Wow. Would someone else like to talk more about that? What I really suggest, because they have a wonderful website, there's a lot to say about them, and it's a beautiful website. I really recommend it. It talks about different aspects of practice, about their own work. I was just looking at it, and I warmly recommend that you find out more about them and what they're doing. Yeah. The Alliance for Bhikkhunis. And if you put Alliance for Bhikkhunis California, I don't know if there's any others, but that will definitely get you to the right one. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Is that for nuns?
Oh, yes, it's for nuns. I'm sorry, I didn't, yeah, it is. This is support for nuns, yeah. Yeah.
Could you write that on the board?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll do that.
I couldn't spell that.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. I'll put their website up there, too, so you can go right to it, yeah, because it's there's a lot of information there and wonderful images, yeah. Yes.
It's actually specifically for a fund for the nuns to attend a retreat.
Oh, thank you.
It's actually not just for the Alliance, but he's actually leading a retreat next year, and there's not enough support for all the nuns who would like to attend.
Ah,
so
wonderful.
So they're holding up
to
the funds, and it's like a scholarship for them to practice with him.
Thank you. Did everyone hear that? That's important. Would you like to come up and use a microphone? I just feel that's very important.
Okay.
Yeah, just...
Okay. Here? Okay. Is it too loud? It's okay. Okay, so with Bhante's donation, it is going to the Alliance of Bhikkhunis, but it's actually within that, it's being held in a scholarship fund that's specifically set up for the Bhikkhunis and the nuns who would like to do retreats, especially with him. He's leading a retreat at Forest Refuge next year, and so he just wanted to make sure that there's enough support so any of the monastic women who would like to study with him can do so. So,
thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
Is it possible to specify something within core support, like the, I'll say the maintenance of the grounds or something like that?
I will find out about that, and I should put that up on the board as well. I haven't had that question before, so I don't feel really sure about that. We do certainly get specific donations. Someone made it wasn't given as core support now, but they offered actually a lot of the sound system. He decided we need a new sound system, so made a donation about that. The person who was inspired to do the trail maps, that was their idea. They came and said, I think you need trail. I don't know if they'd gotten lost in the woods or what, but they wanted there to be good, clear trail maps, and they put those up. So people do definitely, and we've had people offer trees, which we've planted on the grounds. You may have noticed those, some dedicated to teachers. So people do sometimes give for a specific thing that they would like to see happen. But I'll find out more about that. Maybe you could leave your name at the front office so I make sure that you get the information if you'd like. Great, thanks. Would anybody else have a question? All right, I'll turn you over to Brian. And thank you all for your practice.
Can you hear me okay? Great. Let's see. Hopefully this will stay on my ear. Okay. You sure?